cure for a night, but joy comes in the morning light. I can't see it coming down my eyes. I gotta make this all right. Good day, people. How are you? This is Miss Cece, and you are listening to the podcast, Miss Cece, the Real Infopreneur. I host and post at least 2 podcasts per week, and you can listen on Black Talk Radio Network as well as on SoundCloud. Well, people, so of course we're still dealing with the pandemic and black killings and just all of this different, these different situations meant to kind of emotionally take us down. And as we all go out and try to live somewhat normal lives, I'm afraid that some of us don't really realize that normal is kind of over. And I can tell you that because just every day there's something different. Like every day you can expect that there's some weird change going to take place. You know, for instance, like you may be able to go to Target today and you could just go in Target or whatever. But then tomorrow going to Target might be completely different. They might tell you that you have to wear a mask, or you can only have 2 items, or Target might just be completely shut down for whatever reason. So we just have to expect that this is the new normal. The new normal is uncertainty. That's what I would say. But you know, you have to find your foundation in your Heavenly Father, because then you're going to be all right. I mean, that's where I draw my strength from, honestly. Now, the thing is, as people are striving to have life go back to normal, they kind of go in a state of like la la land, and you don't understand what's going on. You don't understand that this has been in the making for a while. And even though that's true, you have to think like, how would I feed my family if there was no food? You know, are you starting to think about growing food? Do you have a garden? Those that have the place to grow a garden, like in a home, and do you have to have a home to grow a garden? You know, that those are the things we need to think about. Have you started buying seeds? What are you watching on YouTube? You know, there are lots of instructionals on YouTube on how to be sustained, how to sustain yourself and your family somewhat. How are you preparing if another emergency happens? I would say we're living in an emergency every day because, as I stated, daily there are changes. Daily you can expect changes. You know, at first people were buying toilet paper and paper products and all that stuff. I guess that's kind of died down, but I know on Facebook I have still seen people talking about buying toilet paper. You know, what was that all about anyway? Like people were really afraid of not having enough toilet paper. You know, what was that about? That's quite interesting. But people were not worried about storing food, growing food. Of course, some people are. I'm not talking about everybody. Of course, there are people that have been, you know, preparing for this stuff for a while. I think they call them preppers. But, you know, for the everyday people, you know, worried about toilet paper and when the mall is going to open back up and just all of these surface things. I mean, I think that people really need to get it together. Seriously. I was listening to a report today by a YouTuber. What is her name? I don't remember her name right now, but she was talking about how the wealthy are not doing the things that they were doing before. They're actually scaling back their spending. But guess who hasn't stopped spending? Who? Guess who? As soon as your stimulus checks came, the bottom, the lower level people, the low income people, they're still spending. And the report said that the spending is basically catching up to where it was before. And when they say low income, who are they talking about? Basically, we know that Black people, our people, spend a whole lot of money on a whole lot of different stuff.
So we just have to really be thinking in a different direction. Now, all of this has spurned some to think differently, but I think that there are others that still need to be shaken a little bit. You know, as we deal with this pandemic and people are worried about their health. And I mean, there's so many dynamics to that thing. People are worried about their health, but they're still eating McDonald's and calling the food service people instead of really trying to figure out what it is that they need to do to get healthy. You know, and you still hear people saying stuff like, well, if I'm going to die, I might as well die happy. Well, what does that even mean? Because you know that you're not happy. I mean, if you are overweight and you're dealing with diabetes and you're dealing with all sort of heart palpitations and varicose veins and you can't fit your clothes and you can't breathe, how is that happy? That is not living. We have to really, really think about these things. And what I like to tell people is, you know what? You didn't get like that yesterday. So it's a process. So in the process, there's planning. You know, like I said, what are you doing? I mean, I know I spend a lot of time on my phone. Seriously, I do. I spend a lot of time on my phone. I really do. I need to cut it out, but I've come to the conclusion that it's not going to happen. So I have to do some other things to make myself stop. I mean, at least I turn it off at night. But in that, as I said, there are plenty of YouTube videos and other platforms that have videos of people showing and telling you how to live a better life. Okay. So for those who are listening to this, if you need help, you know, there's definitely help there. I mean, you can inbox me if you want to, but there is definitely help if you need help trying to get yourself together, whether it be health and wellness or growing food or mental health, the help is there. Okay. So I just wanted to kind of talk about that because our guest today, her name is Miss Vanessa Cooksey, and she is a speaker and she's also a philanthropist. And we're going to find out what it is that she has to bring forth for us today, because you know what? She actually just did a talk and it is called PPP. Now, I'm not going to tell you exactly what that is. I'll let her talk about that. But we're going to bring her into the conversation and we're going to get to know Miss Vanessa Cooksey. Greetings, Vanessa.
Greetings, Cece. Thank you so much for having me today. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today and gracing us with your presence. It is so important that a thinker like yourself can come here and talk to us about some of the things that we need to be doing to sustain ourselves. Now, talk to our listeners about what it is that you do in philanthropy.
My role in philanthropy is really that of investor. And my goal is to invest in community and nonprofit organizations and people that are really making a difference and getting the work done. I tend to be the kind of philanthropist or community investor that looks for organizations and people that are little known, but their work is dynamic, their work is impactful, and it actually makes a difference. And when I make investments in nonprofit organizations and people, the goal is to support them and help them build their capacity to do more of the good work that they're doing. And so my life's mission is about creating and supporting well-being of communities. And so that is more of a holistic look at how we can make a difference, being inclusive and empowering people.
Right. Wow. That sounds like amazing work. Now, you recently have partnered and began working with Brother Nathaniel Jordan, and he is the Minister of Wellness. Talk to me about how you made that connection and why.
Oh, my gosh. I'm always happy to talk about the Minister of Wellness. He is such a dynamic leader in our community, not just here in St. Louis, but globally. I was listening to Sirius XM Radio, Channel 126, Urban View, back in November of 2018. And I was listening to a show called Dr. Wilmer Leon, Inside the Issues with Dr. Wilmer Leon. And Nathaniel was on the show, and he was talking about the increase in death and disease over the holidays, particularly in the Black community. And it, of course, caught my attention. And as he talked about how our community tends to overeat, eat a lot of the wrong things over the holiday, we start to notice an increase in the death rates in January and February. And I was like, there's something here. And what really got me is when he started telling his personal story about how he was on the police department, he was overweight, he had high blood pressure, and that as he started studying the nutritarian diet, he lost the weight and he kept it off for 7 years. And that's what changed it for me. I said, whatever it takes, I have got to meet this man, because I had been on you name it diet program, and I would lose the weight, gain it back, and just on this roller coaster ride of okay health, but not excellent health. And as I listened to him, I reached out, found out that he was here in St. Louis, but really he could have been in Alaska and I would have made the connection with him. So I invested in health coaching with him for 6 months. And it was a significant investment. But when I tell you that it worked, working with him completely transformed my health. I am healthier today than I was in high school. I lost the weight. I've kept it off. We started working together in February of 2019. And he taught me the truth about food and nutrition. And I remember the day we started working together, I signed my agreement for us to do the health coaching. And he said, "Sister, you have to eat to live." And through the process of us working together and just re-educating myself about what my body needs, what God expects from me as a steward of the temple that which he resides, I came up with my own personal health mission statement, and it guides everything that I eat, drink, and do. And it's, I want to live a life that is free of addictions and idols, where the blood and the organs in my body work optimally. And that really, taking that approach to health and well-being, required me to think differently, behave differently, and commit differently in order to make sure that I am being a good steward of my body. And I'll close with this statement. So needless to say, I committed to the nutritarian lifestyle and studied it, made sure I was on top of it, and I started eating more fruits and vegetables. And that was the plants or a standard in my diet. And I called a friend of mine who had told me about Tower Gardens, because I needed a more cost-efficient way and time-efficient way to grow and eat fruits and vegetables. And so that's how I was introduced to or reintroduced to Tower Gardens. And it has been a blessing to have a Tower Garden, particularly as a nutritarian and someone who's committed to a plant-based lifestyle.
Wow, that is an amazing and impactful story about your connection with the minister, because yes, he is a dynamic speaker, teacher, and coach. I've worked with him, I am working with him, and just listening to the information, you know, sometimes you think that, oh, I'm already there, I don't need this. But then I can listen to him every day. I'm like, wow, I did not know that, you know. And it's like, you can't be offended about not knowing, because when you do know, you can spread the information to someone else, you know? I guarantee you, when you find out the information, you will talk with someone that does need to know what you know. That's so, right. Yes, I can appreciate your connection to Brother Nathaniel, and swinging back around to the Tower Gardens. Now, why is it important to be able to grow your own food?
I have three reasons why I grow my own food. The number one is the time savings. I, of course, have to plan what I'm going to eat because that's part of my commitment to being a good steward of my body. And so prior to getting a Tower Garden, I would go to the store on Sunday. I'd go to five different grocery stores, food stores all over the metro area looking because this store has better lettuce. This store has better this. And I got to a place where I was like, this is not a good use of my time. And then if I would get busy and during the week and I didn't cook like I thought I would, then I'd end up throwing food away. And that is a waste of time and money. And food is just more expensive today than it used to be. And the quality, which is the third reason why I grow my own food, the quality is not the same. And I didn't know any better until I started growing my own food, because with the Tower Garden, not only is it convenient, I can walk over to my tower, pick my greens and my vegetables, eat them at my table. So I'm saving time, I'm saving money, because I can grow food from seeds, and seeds cost, what, $1, $2 a pack. But the taste of the food, and I love to eat, and that's why I'm so glad that I met the Minister of Wellness and committed to Nutritarian, because I don't have time to count calories. Just tell me what I can eat to be healthy, and that's what I'm going to do. I love to eat fruits and vegetables, and the food that grows from the Tower Garden doesn't have the stress of being transported hundreds or thousands of miles. It doesn't have any pesticides, herbicides, no chemicals on the food. And when you grow something from a seed, there's a power and a confidence that you get that is not only exciting, but to taste the food in its purest form, I find it to be the highest form of praise and thanksgiving. Like, wow, this is what God intended. This is the taste and the experience and the medicine that God gives us for our health. You don't get food this fresh at the grocery store, and you can taste the difference and see and feel. The leaves of my kale are so strong and sturdy, and when I eat it, my body feels good. So saving time, saving money, and just really being able to enjoy the benefits of pure food are why I love growing on a Tower Garden.
That is amazing, because as you were talking about running around the five different stores, that is like my story now. Like, I literally will be at Whole Foods, I'll be at Fresh Thyme, I'll be at, where else do I go? Dierbergs. I'll be at all these different stores trying to piece together things for maybe 3 days, or, you know, yeah. I don't know. Sometimes the food only lasts till I get to my car, because I love eating too. But yes, I totally understand what you're saying. So growing your own food saves time and saves money. And I can definitely appreciate that. And I think the listeners will appreciate that too. They just have to know how. They have to see it being done, you know, because if you are living in a small space, I would think that a Tower Garden is going to be very productive where you are. You don't have to have a lot of space. Am I correct?
Yes. And that is something that I love. There are variety of ways that you can grow food at home. You can grow them in pots. You can, you know, if you have a backyard or a small piece of yard, you can grow in the dirt, you grow all these things. Now, I don't tend to be the kind of person that likes to be outside in the dirt. That is just me. I have friends who have both a Tower Garden and a traditional garden. More power to them. I love that people can do that. But for me and my lifestyle, wife, mother, work full time, I needed something that was efficient because and easy, because if it took too much time and it was hard, I wasn't going to do it. And so when my friend introduced me to Tower Garden, she said, the machine does the work for you. And now there's some maintenance and, you know, you do have to tend to the machine, kind of like a refrigerator. And I tell people, if you have a refrigerator, you can have a Tower Garden. So, you know, you wipe your refrigerator down, you know, it does a lot of the work for you, but you still have to maintain it, change your filter, do those things. So as about as much work that you would have to maintain your oven or your microwave or your other home appliance, that's about how much work that you have to do with the Tower Garden. And one of the things that I told my friend when she was telling me about Tower Garden, I said, now look, I have killed a bamboo plant. Those are next to impossible to kill. So if this is hard, if this takes work, if this requires a green thumb, I don't have it. And she said, Vanessa, if I can do it, you can do it. And so I trusted her. I needed a better way. I needed a way to save money, and I invested in the Tower Garden, and they're actually pretty affordable. And the space issue, there are two kinds of Tower Gardens. There's the Tower Garden Flex and the Tower Garden Home. The Flex is a 20-gallon tank, so you have to have about 36 inches, just a 3-foot area of space indoors or outdoors with a power source and access to water in order to grow. The Tower Garden Home is actually designed for smaller places, studio apartments, townhouses. It has a 13-gallon water tank, and you only need about 28 inches of space, a little over 2 feet of space. So in the spring, summer, I have my Tower Garden outside on my deck, and I grow outdoors. In the fall, winter, I bring it in. I put it literally in a corner in my kitchen, and I grow from October to May. So they are designed to be in small spaces and to produce a lot of food because you're growing up, hence vertical versus out. And the technology is so efficient, you're using less energy, less water, and less space than traditional gardening and other forms of hydroponic or aeroponic gardening. So it's a very efficient technology, is another reason why I like it.
Wow. It sounds amazing, and it sounds like something that people need to be checking into, especially in this time. And so we're going to kind of switch gears, but make the connection with the Tower Garden and your talk that you did about PPP. Now, can you tell us what that means exactly? Because I'm, again, making the connection with growing food and your talk in PPP.
Absolutely. So most people understand and have heard PPP to stand for Paycheck Protection Program. But for the talk that I gave, I changed that to Post-Pandemic Playbook and identified three things that people should be thinking about as the country is reopening, as in some spaces and communities, the coronavirus is starting to lessen, but, you know, there's talk that there may be another wave in the fall. Not sure, but all I know is that when we come out of this very dynamic and volatile time, we should be focused on three things. One, being debt-free. Two, being disease-free. And three, being drama-free. And the disease-free is really where the Tower Garden makes the difference. Growing your own healthy food, getting your body healed, because God gives us a body that will heal itself if you give it what it needs. So not having the comorbidities, high blood pressure, diabetes, et cetera, those preventable and reversible diseases by eating a plant-rich diet, a nutrient-dense diet. And what better way to provide your family, your household, whether it's one person that lives in your house or 10 people that live in your house, with the freshest, purest vegetables and fruits than by growing them with the Tower Garden. So really being able to have the Tower Garden as part of your post-pandemic playbook, because we don't know what life will be like. Will the grocery stores continue to remain open? Will there be other issues and obstacles that create food insecurity, even in communities that traditionally haven't seen that? And I'll be honest, back in March, I live in St. Louis, and our elected officials and our local governments were just putting in the stay-at-home orders. And I was watching the news. They were announcing what the requirements were for the stay-at-home order. And I was sitting in my kitchen. And when they said, you know, you have to stay at home for this amount of time, I looked at my Tower Garden and I said, thank the Lord. I said, I don't care what closes. You can close every grocery store. I don't want that, clearly. But we didn't know how bad this was going to be at the time. And I said, no matter what happens out there, me and mine going to be okay. My family, I can feed my family food that I know will keep them alive because I have this Tower Garden. And I was just so thankful that my friend shared this information with me, because it's really, it has been a blessing to our family, both in good times and crisis times.
Wow. Well, that is amazing. So now we've got people that are listening and they would like to be PPP accurate. They would like to take their own lives back into their hands and make sure that they're doing what they need to be doing. So if they would like to get more information on where to get a Tower Garden, if they would like to talk with you about possibly some coaching and how to live a PPP life, not the SBA version, but the version that you're talking about, how would they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. I am happy to help anyone interested in getting their post-pandemic playbook together. I can be reached two ways, via email. I'll give my email address. And also via phone, I will give my phone number. My phone number is area code 314-202-4055. That's 314-202-4055. You can reach me at that phone number. Another way to reach me is via email. And that email address is V as in Vanessa, C as in Cooksey, the number 4, T as in Tower, G as in Garden, S as in Sam. So that's VC4TGS@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn. Feel free to direct message me there. But this is really important. And now is the time. You know, summer is happening, things are starting to slow down a little bit, to really be thinking about what is my purpose, how can I glorify God in my lifestyle, is there anything that's ailing me, are there relationships that I need to reevaluate, is my money right? So those things, debt-free, disease-free, drama-free, are really important aspects of a post-pandemic playbook, and certainly having a Tower Garden will make all the difference in actually all of those categories. Save you time, save you money, give you the medicine foods of God, and just be prepared for the good times and the crisis times.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds very, very doable. Now, what can we expect from you? What do you have coming out next? You've got the Tower Gardens. So what are you coming out with next in your life? Maybe philanthropically or what have you? Are you writing a book? What can we expect from you?
Well, thanks for asking that. There are a couple of things that I am working on. I'm very grateful that the response to my 3Ds for your PPP speech has been really high. It has been on my heart to be of service to young adult women, particularly young adult Black women that are between the ages of 18 and 25. It's such a dynamic time and age in the life cycle. And I just believe that with the right mentorship, guidance, advice, counsel, and coaching, we can position our young women to really win. And oftentimes there are things that we chose in those times, whether, you know, you go to college or not, the relationships that we build, the support systems and the community that we have around us really influence our choices. So looking at developing special community, online community for young women ages 18 to 25, engaging my network of sister friends. You know, I'm 43, so I'm well past 25, but engaging the elders, in essence, and really investing in our young women to make sure that they can be healthy and strong and continue to the legacy. So starting with an online community, moving to a book, hopefully in 2021, but just focusing my attention on young women ages 18 to 25.
Now, that's some very impactful work that is needed. You know, sometimes all you need, even when you're surrounded by a bunch of chaos and negativity, all you need is that one person, like, you know, that one person that's telling you that you can, no matter what, you can still do it. Even if they had a baby, you know, you can, even if they made some mistakes, you still can. You can make this life be what it is supposed to be for you. So I think that that work is going to be a great work, and oh, it's going to make such a difference. Well, Vanessa, we so thank you for joining us again. You totally can come back anytime. Do you have any last words for our listeners?
Cece, I just want to thank you so much for the invitation to be with you, to have this conversation, to talk to your listeners and your community. And really, one of the things that you said earlier that makes all the difference for you and certainly for me is the power of faith. There's so much change. So like you said, things are changing daily. We face these emergencies. There's a lot of bad news, but faith matters. And keep that at the forefront, and that's what helps get you through. So thank you for the faith that you have in me to allow me to share. Thank you for keeping your faith to continue to serve your community with this good information to help people be empowered and strong. And really my last word is just thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you too. We know that connections matter and Yah does not make mistakes. So I am so glad to be with you here today myself, and I look forward to working with you in the future later. And you all have been listening to Miss Cece, the Real Infopreneur, and we'll be back with you again another time, but you have a great rest of the evening. Good night.
I am grateful to God for this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor Riley, our church leaders, and the 2020 Women's Day Committee for allowing me to share with you today. I want to thank my family and friends for their continued love and support and for inspiring this message. I especially want to thank my cousin, Reverend Demetrius Smith, for challenging me to find the hope in what sometimes feels like a hopeless situation. The title of my message is 3 D's for your PPP. And I don't mean your Paycheck Protection Program. PPP stands for your Post-Pandemic Playbook. My dad died in 1997 from pancreatic cancer. I was 19 years old, and I thought that that was the worst thing that could have ever happened to me. When I was laid off from my dream job at Cartoon Network, I thought that was the worst thing that could have ever happened to me. Then, 2 months ago, when I was forced to become a second grade homeschool teacher because of COVID-19, I thought, this is the worst thing that has ever happened to me. Central Disciples, challenges, upsets, and troubles are par for the course in our lives as Christians. But I am so glad that God gives clear direction to help us get through any situation, good and bad. God's direction also has clear consequences and rewards based on our obedience. This pandemic has had devastating impacts on all of us, from increased anxiety to job loss and even death. While my encouragement today is for everyone, it is especially for the women of Central. We've spent a lot of time at home, and our day-to-day routines have been completely disrupted, giving us a unique opportunity to rethink things and reevaluate our priorities. As we begin to establish and live in a new normal, family, now is a great time to develop a post-pandemic playbook. I recommend including 3 D's in your post-pandemic playbook. The first D is debt-free. Financial well-being is paramount to getting through any crisis. I am thankful that our pastor had the foresight back in January to provide us with the opportunity and training to get our financial houses in order. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The borrower is slave to the lender." Debt already comes with its own hardships. It only adds to negative outcomes when crisis happens in our lives. The scripture that I use in my playbook is Proverbs 13:22. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. A commitment like this requires me to steward my resources carefully and focus on assets, giving, and investing, and not spending and going into debt. The second D is for disease-free. We are aware of the facts and data about health issues in our community. Reciting statistics about chronic diseases like diabetes and obesity and high blood pressure and their relationship to COVID-19 deaths for Black people in St. Louis is not useful for this message. Instead, it is helpful to say that God cares very deeply about how we steward our bodies. Last year, with the help of the Minister of Wellness, Nathaniel Jordan, I finally achieved my health goals, and I developed a personal health mission statement that I say to myself every day. I want to live a life that is free from addictions and idols so that the blood and the organs in my body work optimally. The scripture that supports this play in my playbook is 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. The third and final D is drama-free. 9 years ago, I was struggling with politics and drama at work. The company culture was toxic. I was confused about how my performance was being evaluated, and I stayed in a constant state of disappointment because various leaders lacked integrity and were not meeting my expectations of leadership. My auntie Brand said something that really helped me. Take care of the people that take care of you. I started pulling back from coworkers that were always gossiping and attempting and accepting that certain leaders in the company really didn't care about diversity, equity, and inclusion, despite what they said. Another source of drama, overcommitting. How much of our daily stress is caused by relationships and situations that we have no business engaging in the first place? I can't count the number of times when I've been asked to serve on a committee, to do something for someone, or to go somewhere, and I said yes when I really should have said no. Oftentimes, as Black women, when crisis hits, the overwhelming drama is worse because we don't have any extra bandwidth or capacity. The scripture that guides every play in my playbook is Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." This is a tall order, y'all. When we are focused on truly loving God and others in this way, there really isn't time nor room for drama. And we can praise the Lord for that. As I close, I want to share 2 key benefits of taking time to develop your post-pandemic playbook. The first benefit of having a post-pandemic playbook is that preparedness limits suffering. As I shared in the beginning, if you are upright and breathing, storms are inevitable. At any given time, we are either getting ready to go into a storm, in a storm or just coming out of a storm. Having a plan that is grounded in scripture to guide the things we can control and navigate the things we cannot control makes going through crisis more bearable. The second and most important benefit that why you need a post-pandemic playbook is because playbooks position us to win. Winning sports teams have amazing playbooks to help them win championships. God's word positions us to win in the kingdom, not just in heaven later, but here on earth right now. Committing to being debt-free, disease-free, and drama-free helps us win in this game of life. And ladies, we deserve to win. We can win. We can win with ourselves, which is the most important, win with our families, win in our careers, and win in our communities. And that's good news. God bless you. Stay safe and well.